This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
We kick off hour number two of the program. Not sure how it turned into a Bash Houston day, but I don't like it. It's not really you.
This is much better than Optimism Tuesday, in my opinion.
It's not really you. It's just the sheepiness of the fan base. It gets... You become a symbol of that sometimes.
It's been my favorite day working here.
It's not you. It's a phenomenon.
You guys good? You having fun?
Yeah.
Good. Slow news day, huh?
Yeah, it is.
Just turned it into a Bash Houston Wednesday. Yeah. I'm sorry. Sorry, I'm optimistic. I try to be.
Mm-hmm. He's a silent guardian, a watchful protector, a dark knight.
You want me on that wall. You need me on that wall. Was I the last one out on Pruitt? I don't know. Was I close? You're GD right, I was.
It's just a gift that keeps on giving, too, with Pruitt and
it's
his
a gift.
Crew.
Yeah.
Tyson Hilton. You know, I mean, we're dealing with Butch Jones' NFL fallout right now. You know, the Trevor Lawrence pictures and the... Was it Amari Rodgers that they asked him why he didn't go to...
Yeah,
Tennessee,
and he said, "I wanted to win."
So, I mean, people are pointing out now the NFL draft's over, and people are doing mock drafts for next year. Mm. How Sam Howell's like Walter Football had him going number two overall. People are like, "Why didn't we want Sam Howell again?" Oh yeah, Tyson Hilton thought he was too short. just great.
Do you guys see who the odds are to go number one?
No. Who's it?
Spencer Rattler.
Is he old? Tyler Show.
Mm-hmm. He is?
The mock draft I saw had the Texas Tech quarterback.
Captain Shao. Touchback says...
Really?
He
transferred from Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, Captain Touchback's issue with me was me saying that I wanted to see the staff with a different quarterback.
Oh, yeah, I remember
but
that.
It was, in fact, the staff who made the decision to continue to start.
I remember we got into that argument, and you're like, I want to see this staff with a different quarterback. I was like, I want to see what they look like with a different head coach. And I was just thinking, like, maybe Pruitt could get COVID and have to sit out
and not be there. I remember you did say
and
that. Did say
we're like, all right, well, let's see how they look, but I never got my wish.
Guys, I blew it, okay? I admit it. I hung on too long.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel like I've, you know. I don't feel like I've hidden from that.
Ah, it's okay. Everyone held on to Pruitt too long on some level.
I mean,
we should have known.
Just hear me out.
Okay.
We were the first out on Butch. It may have been me. I don't know. Like we kind of came to that agreement on the show together. Like we're out on this guy. We got killed for that.
We knew the App State night.
We got killed for being out on Butch. He's he won 9 games and just beat Nebraska. How can you be out on him?
Actually, we were kind of out on him that offseason. We said if he'll just get out of the way a little more, this team can probably be really good. And that was 100% true.
I'm just saying, like. Do you remember how many people came back and DM'd us and said,
apologized.
Hey, I'm really sorry. You were right. I was mean to you when you were out on Butch, but you were absolutely right. I'm sorry. And now I'm getting in trouble for the opposite? What do you want from me? How do I make you people happy? What do? I sit here and I tell the truth. That's what I do. It's all I do. Do I orange glasses?
We knew during that App State game. We knew. You could watch it and you could tell that we couldn't.
But see, that's the problem. It's the same thing. It's the same thing as Georgia.
Up front.
I know. It's the same thing as Georgia State, though. It's like, you know, but then all of a sudden good things start happening. You're like, well, dang, maybe something.
I had this exact thought. After Battle of Bristol, I was like, if Virginia Tech doesn't just drop the ball this whole game, they would have beat our ass.
Right, but then we did like...
But you can't say that because then all the Tennessee fans, all of them...
Well, we forced those fumbles.
Get mad at you. You can't say we played poorly and won. You can't say that because... You can't say we deserve to lose or hey, if we'd have played a better team today, we'd have lost. You just can't.
But then
they
kind of turned it on against Virginia Tech. I mean, remember, they threw the fade to Jennings, and then we got like a punt. We went like 80 yards in four plays. It took like 25 seconds. And then we just ran all over them the rest of the night. It was like, okay, they figured it out. And then, you know, they beat Georgia, they beat Florida. And it's like, okay, we got it. We're good. And then, you know, the A&M thing was kind of like the inverse of Virginia Tech. Like, we just coughed the ball up a million times. Bama was Bama. They were really good. We were pretty banged up. But that loss to South Carolina was like the – that's like the – that was the stamp moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I was rooting for us to lose at that
point. That team was just so good, had so much talent. There's no way you should be losing to Will freaking Muschamp.
Oh, you're talking about 2016. Sorry, I was thinking of – 2017, whenever we're trying to go down the field and we have that opportunity and it's right off the fingertips of Brandon Johnson.
Yeah, yeah. That was the game that that might have been the game I knew that Jarrett Garantano was never going to be good because on fourth down in the red zone, he threw the ball out of bounds. He just chucked it out of bounds. And I'm thinking, buddy, it's fourth down. A pick there is not the worst thing that can happen. An incompletion that gives no one a chance to catch it is the worst thing that can happen. But yeah, good times. This is a very good walk down memory lane.
Goes to his situational awareness where the coaching staff was always like, all right, JG, just like don't make that big mistake. But it's like, man, it's fourth down. Like,
yeah,
realize it.
I think on third down, he ran out of bounds for like a loss of 6-2. Like he's running and he's instead of throwing it away like he did on fourth down, like gonna be nice, but he like takes the sack essentially on third down while he's running out, like he's out of the pocket. He could throw that into row 18, but he takes the sack.
Let's go to the phone lines. We got Wes up first. What's up, Wes? You're on three and out.
Howdy, fellas. How we doing?
Morning, Wes.
First of all, Spencer Rattler looks like a crackhead.
He does.
Every single picture I see him.
Apparently, he's a big jerk too.
Second of all,
don't like him.
Oh, yeah, he is a jerk. He sucks. Second of all, Houston, you can't make him unhappy, man. Don't worry about it.
Thanks, Wes.
Third, I was in Bryce Denny in 2016 with some friends that went to South Carolina. That was miserable. And last thing, I wanted to tell you all about a dream I had last night and get a little take on it.
I love dreams. Big dream guy.
So last night, I don't usually remember him, but this one was so vivid and so real, it kind of felt like a premonition, so I'm a little worried. But
okay.
So I woke up last night, like sweating, just sweating, and my wife rolls over and she's like, what is wrong with you? And I was just too embarrassed to tell her that in my head I'd been watching this Tennessee football game, we're playing Vandy, and our offense had sputtered some. I mean, we managed to put up 28 points on the board, which by Pruitt standards would have been incredible. Yep. But anyways, we'd thrown a pick, we'd fumbled, something like that. But they had stayed in it, and they go down, and our defense is just so gassed from being on the field the whole game that they just cannot stop Vandy. It's like 28-24, and they go down, and they score to win the game. They leave like 7 seconds on the clock, and there just wasn't anything we could do with that. So my question to you is, do we run into the situation where our offense sputters in real life and where we're going so fast, our defense is just on the field for like 40, 45 minutes, and they just can't stop anybody, like even Vandy?
Yeah, it's going to happen.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't think it'll happen against Vanderbilt, but it'll happen.
That is just kind of one of the downsides to this style of offense. I mean, you've seen that happen with Mike Leach. It's part of it whenever you go air raid. If you get into an element of bad weather.
That's what scares me the most. Rain games, snow, sleet.
And if you can't run the ball, yeah, you're going to be in a really bad position there.
And then my next question on top of that is, like, is there any chance that Heupel sees that and realizes it and kind of, instead of going super hurry up every play, like chooses his spots where he goes super hurry up and still goes pretty quick, but just tries to work a little more break into that defense?
It's a good question. I don't know. I haven't watched a lot of UCF, like, full game to where, you know, does he take a possession where he does let the clock kind of bleed down and run the ball and try to rest the defense, or is he just like, sorry, I asked you this question yesterday. Does he just say, I don't even think about defense when I'm calling offense, I'm only worried about scoring? That's a good question. I don't know. I don't know, Wes. I don't know how he's going to handle that. I think a good coach would blend, right, mix a little bit, kind of understand the situation, understand depth concerns, if his defense is tired, whatever. So I'm going to assume yes, I just don't know to what extent. Because that's the whole part of why his offense has been so successful, is they get, you know, 88 plays a game, and they go fast, 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 and they're going to stress the other team's defense. But at some point, I would imagine he'd have to realize, if, you know, the game's going a certain way, yeah, I need to waste a little bit more time here, rest my defense.
Yeah. Me and Davey are kind of in the same boat.
It's a scary boat, man.
Our whole entire lives has been it's been like the last 10 to 15 years of Tennessee football, and we've not seen anything but heartbreak. So it's kind of hard to be optimistic sometimes. Y'all have a good one.
Thanks for the call, Wes.
Yeah, that's, I'm not hiding it. That's definitely my past experience is definitely, I would say, lead me to where I think it's not going to be optimistic. I'll admit that.
We know.
Admitting it's the first step to recovery, though.
Yeah. We'll hit a quick break. Come back with more phone calls. Stick with us right here on 3 and Out. Welcome back to 3 and Out. I'm going to go right back to the phone lines. 865-546-8200 is the number if you want to join the program. Up next, we have DR Vol on the horn. What's up, DR? You're on 3 and Out.
Well, guys, this trip down memory lane has certainly been good. Memory lame. I remember with Dooley, man, I wasn't out. I'll never forget this long as I live. I went out on him until his third year when we had the ball against Missouri in the fourth quarter, and he elects to go to overtime when we have that great offense and two timeouts. I couldn't get over that. I'll never get over that.
I was watching that game, DR, in Salt Lake City Airport, and I damn near threw the phone across the terminal when how much there was like 45 seconds or something. We had the ball at like the 30.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, we're just going to take this to OT. I'm like, you're the dumbest. You are so stupid.
That was the last Dooley game I watched.
Didn't we have a big lead in that game?
I don't remember that. I just remember how we blew it.
I remember CP was going crazy, just like stepping all over everybody. He was just strutting out there. And then we went conservative, and then it cost us. How many overtimes was that, Dave? Like three or four?
Four.
Good times.
You could see it coming, too, when he liked that. It's like, it doesn't matter if this goes to 10 overtimes. We're going to lose because the football gods are not going to let that go unpunished with that great offense when we go to overtime.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the 15 with Butch, that gave me a lot of doubt at that Oklahoma game. I thought, maybe we're a year ahead of schedule. And then it just kept happening. And then when I was finally done was to give a little of my personal life history. I was at the App State game, and me and my buddy were so pissed. He broke his cell phone and his Oakleys, and we decided to go to a strip club. And we got there, and the game was getting good, so we stood there and tried to watch it. And these strippers, I guess you could say, they came up to us wanting to see if we wanted to dance because it was dead. Everybody was at the stadium, and I looked at her and said, would you leave me the hell alone? I'm trying to watch this game. And we had to leave, so we didn't get to watch the end of it.
Mm. Well, the ending was better than most of the game, but still very lackluster.
Well, I just remember thinking, this is App State, and we thought this is our year, and we may not survive this.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It's never our year.
Well, that's what I was saying to Nate earlier. Like, Nate and I were both at that game, and we knew where each other was sitting, and we just kept making eyes and faces at each other from, what were we, like 200 feet? 100 feet?
Yeah.
A couple hundred feet
like
apart?
One section in between or something.
But, we were just like constantly looking over at each other like, what the hell are they doing? It's like, I don't know. It was like, it reminded me of the Georgia State game. It's like, did we practice and prepare one snap for this game? And luckily that team was talented enough to, you know, escape. But then was it who did we play the next week? Was it Ohio?
BYU.
No.
Sorry. You said Georgia State?
No. App State.
Sorry, I haven't been
2016.
Listening.
It was Ohio. Like, Cam Sutton got hurt. Reeves Maben got hurt. And then Kirkland.
I think he got ejected and hurt at the same time.
He got ejected, I thought, for the targeting against that was against App State. That was just, yeah. But then they looked like, after the first quarter against Virginia Tech, they looked like $1 million. I'm like, okay. Then they beat Georgia and Florida. You're thinking, okay, maybe that App State game was, but then was it 2 weeks
there
later?
There were guys, though. Kongbo was in that App State game. I was like, this guy's not.
Not what we thought.
This guy was going to be a stud, and he's just not.
Was it the next week or 2 weeks later, Miami beat App State at App State like 47-3 or something? And I'm like, uh-oh.
Yeah, because we were like, well, if App State beats Miami,
they're good? And they weren't good.
Now, Virginia Tech was the next game. It was App State, Virginia Tech.
Okay, so it was.
Then Ohio.
Ohio was when everybody got hurt, yep.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Virginia Tech game, are y'all talking about the battle at Bristol?
That's
yes.
Game?
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. I didn't discover the station until Shiano Sunday when Houston and Bear and Russ was sat in a riot. But
okay. I remember that. We told people to act responsibly, but to make their voices heard. And that was the night. That was the night that Bear said, go down to Bama and hire Pruitt. So I put all that on Bear.
I remember that.
He spoke it into existence.
I had to drive down to Florida, Houston, about 2 years ago, and I was like, I've never heard the whole Shiano Sunday thing. I'm going to listen to it. And I remember catching that thing. Oh, well, Bear put this on us. I remember the 17-year trying to put hope in myself, thinking, you know what?
Nope.
Dobbs was never that accurate. Maybe Dormady is a little more accurate. We could be better this year. Just cheaping it up, guys.
Dormady might have been good if he ever would not throw off of his back foot, but he never did that. He always threw off his back foot.
That's what I always said about JG. He would be good if he would just quit throwing to the other team.
Yeah.
Well, guys, this has been a great trip down memory lane. Mm-hmm. This is really making me want to go buy some orange. Y'all have a good day.
Thanks, DR. Appreciate it, brother. Shiano Sunday. I think that was the saddest I've ever been about Tennessee football. You get mad at losses and coaching decisions and things idiots say behind the microphone. Fell on a helmet. We're closing the gap.
Yeah.
That was the day, though, that I... Yeah. I remember I read the tweet. I was fishing. And you know that pit you get in your stomach when you get bad news? It was mm-hmm. that. And then... I think I texted Russell, and I was like, dude, or maybe he texted me. Yeah, he said, I'm headed to the station. Do you want to come? I was like, yeah, we got to talk about this. How long were we on the air that day? How long is the Shiano Sunday podcast? 7 hours? 6 hours?
No, I don't know. On the Shianomo,
it's up there.
Yeah. I remember being at the house, sitting at my dining room table, just like texting everybody, emailing, trying to figure out what to do. You got started. Eventually, I'm like, I guess I'm just going to drive down here and sit down here in the office. You guys are doing the show. Just tracking it all. It was a mess.
7 hours.
7 hours.
Yeah. I'm looking at it now.
I remember being on campus for about 5.
You were on campus? You went down there? Yeah. Hour one, hour two, hour three, hour four, hours 5, 6, and 7.
Our Periscope, I launched from the Fox Sports Knox account. We had
it went crazy.
We had over... It ended with, like, over 50,000 views.
Yeah. It's a big deal, man. It's okay.
I was driving back home from Memphis that day when I got the news.
You're probably disappointed that it worked. Big Shiano guy.
No. I thought it wasn't a good fit.
It wasn't. It was, like, the worst fit, actually.
Yep. I preferred Mike Leach.
He was, like, He was like maybe slightly smarter Butch Jones. Maybe. He was like he was like Butch Jones if he worked out. Like lifted weights. He's just a bigger, stronger guy. Never would have worked. We'd be probably, well, I say that. I don't think it would have been worse than Pruitt. Could have been, right?
I don't think so.
I mean, he wouldn't have had success. He wouldn't have won enough. He would not have a job here still, I don't think. But we probably wouldn't be on.
He could
have
still been here right now.
Maybe. Maybe.
But it would have been like kind of like a year that determines whether or not he stays.
Yeah, this would have been like Butch Jones' year five.
Yeah.
It's like we're going into it and we know it's going to just be awful. I mean, we've delayed the inevitable.
Because I think he's a better coach than both Pruitt and Butch Jones.
We'll see. How'd they do this past year?
Won 3 games, I think. They won their first game in Big Ten play.
Mm. Okay. No, that had to happen. He couldn't come here.
But he also built a program from the ground up, unlike Butch inheriting one at Cincinnati.
True. But weren't they in the Big East at the time?
They were, yes.
Yeah,
it was a
But they
different.
Were a top 15 team at one point.
Yeah, but
it wasn't big boy football.
Yeah. He's a sub 500 coach.
It'd be like hiring that South Florida coach that hasn't done anything since.
Willie Taggart?
No, Jim Leavitt back in the day.
Mm.
Yeah. Mm. Like they either beat Auburn or went head to head. I mean, they were like in the top 5 at one point in one season. But it doesn't mean they're, you know, he's a great head football coach.
Right.
No, there's been too many mistakes to catalog. We don't have to rehash them all.
No, it's good.
We've done a lot already.
I think it's good though to go through that.
Okay.
It's cathartic.
Is it?
What's
It's therapeutic.
Is it lacrimology?
I don't know.
It's healing through crying.
That's the thing.
I do have some topics we can get into that are
oh great
of today's world.
Okay.
Not necessarily
Let's
looking
do that.
Past.
Let's do that next. If you want to give us a call, 865-546-8200. Stick with us, right? You're on 3-0. Davey's got some topics for us. Houston, you excited? Sure, they'll be great.
I'm not excited. Timid.
He said for
reluctant.
You know, for now. Some good ones for now.
I was right about lacrimology. Healing through crying.
It's a religion, though?
Apparently.
So what are you worshiping? If it's a religion. Your ability to cry? Your ability to hurt? Like, to be injured?
I just
hurt emotionally?
I thought, I didn't think it was a religion. I just thought it was, you know.
A technique.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. You know, a good cry and you deal with your emotions, and you get over something.
Yeah.
You understand it better. All right, Dave, what do you got for us?
So I actually am
We're not stepping
serious.
On the depot, are we?
No.
Okay.
No, this is a topic that been talked about a little bit yesterday when news broke that former Tennessee offensive lineman, current Denver Broncos offensive lineman, Juwan James, he unfortunately has suffered a season-ending torn Achilles. Now, why I wanted to talk about this and something that a lot of people are not really debating so much, but so a lot of NFL teams...
They're understanding it now for the first time, the situation.
Yes.
Go ahead.
A lot of NFL teams have... The players have come together and said, you know what, just due to the pandemic, COVID-19, we think it's best if we just don't do voluntary workouts. We think it's best if players are able to just work out on their own off-site.
Mm-hmm.
Now, where that becomes an issue and something that I don't think the NFLPA has really thought through whenever the players have done this, or maybe the NFL Players Association has thought it through, but they didn't relay this message to the players, is that let's say you do suffer a season-ending injury, but you're off-site, unless your contract specifically states that you're going to be compensated for that, the team can decide whether or not they want to pay you or not. So for Juwan James' situation, he possibly could be at $10
million
for this season's
yep.
salary. Now, obviously, a lot of people are like, man, they need to pay the guy. and I'm trying to look at it from a lot of different angles. So, Juwan James, if I'm Denver, here's my situation. I went out, I got this tackle from Miami, paid him a four-year, $51 million contract. It's technically year two of the contract, but this is going to be his third season in Denver. He is only going to have played three games in 3 years. First year, suffered a season-ending injury after only playing the three games. Last season, decided to opt out because of COVID, and now we already know he is going to miss the entirety of the 2021 NFL season due to this Achilles injury. Now, Denver still could pay him. They still could work, but the biggest issue is the NFLPA is probably going to be facing a lot of backlash from players. From it does not look as though the players realize if they got hurt, the team could not pay them their salary since these workouts are not occurring at the team facility.
Hypothetically, let's say he doesn't work out at all and shows up out of shape. Couldn't they cut him?
They could, but again, like, your salary would be, he would have a certain guaranteed part of his salary.
Right. So I guess I understand why Denver would probably want to exercise.
And each contract's different. Just
sure, sure. I understand why they would want to exercise this and not pay him. I saw some Denver fans tweeting, you know, to the initial news, like, well, he's been stealing money from us for 3 years, so, like, maybe this is our way out. But if you're Denver, and he was injured working out, correct? I mean, he was...
That's what was reported.
Right. I mean, that
I would assume that was the case, yes.
It's going to be a very bad look if they punish him for doing his job. It's going to, I'm not saying it's the right thing or the wrong thing to do, but it's going to be a very bad look, and it's going to cause a lot of issues for Denver if a guy is working out on his own, trying to prepare himself for the upcoming season, gets hurt, and then you just don't pay him. Maybe they can come to an agreement where it's like, hey, how about we give you $5 million instead of the $10 million? Let us spend this somewhere else. But it's a tough break for Juwan James. And it's a really weird situation because he hasn't built up any equity in Denver. Fans don't look at him as a, you know, great tackle because, as you said, he played three games and got hurt, opted out last year, and now he's going to miss this season. You know, if this had been year five in Miami, yeah, people would be like, oh, yeah, this is a bad situation. Just pay the guy. We want to keep him around because he was good for the Dolphins. Fans, I'm not saying they don't like him. They just they don't know what Juwan James is. They haven't seen it enough in Denver. It's a very, very tough situation. But surely they've got to give him something.
I mean, there's
I just don't think you want to open up this can of worms.
The Denver Post just wrote an article yesterday saying that congratulations, Broncos. Juwan James, not Ian Desmond, is now Denver's worst free agent signing. And
who wrote that? Was it Woody?
No.
Oh.
Sean Keeler.
I mean, they made him the highest paid right tackle in the league. And then he just opted out in a season where, you know, there was not one COVID issue in the entire NFL. Like that's where he screwed up. What did they get when they opted out?
No, that was a bad move on his well, I don't want to say a bad move. It's a bad look.
When they opt out, the contract basically is in a freeze. There was something where they get paid like a small amount of money, like a couple hundred thousand, but
that contract year goes to the next year.
Yeah, it just basically gets pushed down the road 1 year.
I think they got did they get league minimum for that year? But the contract that year is just kind of like a gap. Yeah,
something along those lines.
I mean, doesn't the NFL and the NFLPA need to figure out?
Yeah, they got
to
address this.
Like, shouldn't they have had this decided on the front end? Like, is it surely this happens more often, though. Like, I mean, these guys work out on their own all the time, even if they are going to all the team activities. If a guy gets hurt, say, I don't know, doing agility drills in their backyard because they're doing extra training.
Who
is
the baseball
player
that slipped in the shower right before the season started and, like, cut his foot up? Anybody remember that? I mean, I think that. Do you remember that? Was he? I think he played for the Yankees, didn't he?
I'm blanking on slipping in the shower, but I know with Aaron Boone, like it's famous how the Yankees ended up getting A-Rod because Aaron Boone was playing pickup basketball in the offseason. And I forgot if he blew out his knee or his Achilles or something like that. Mm-hmm. And the Yankees ended up voiding his contract because it was an injury that was that happened, you know, outside of team facility.
Right.
It wasn't a team authorized.
Well, I guess that's like if Juwan James had been, you know, speeding or driving drunk and got in an accident, and like that's a little, like, the guy was working out. He was trying to get ready for the season. And I saw a lot of Denver fans saying, oh, he doesn't love football. He's not in it for football. He's in it for the money. Of course he got hurt. Like, I don't think that's fair. But, no, you're right. Like, it's unfortunate that he's been hurt for 2 years. It's also unfortunate for him that he chose to opt out, because that just plants seeds of doubt in the fan base and probably with, you know, leadership in Denver.
Yeah, no, I mean, it sucks. I think if he's working out for the season and everybody decided that they weren't going to – that everyone was going to work out on their own, then I feel like on that – if that's the argument, then the Broncos have to pay him. But, I mean, he also kind of took advantage of of the Broncos by pushing his salary a year down the road and not playing for him last year with the whole opt-out thing. And
we talked about that across all levels. Like, yeah, you can opt out, but what is
gonna be
what do your coaches think? What do your teammates think? Yeah. What does the fan base think? So, it's a tough spot. Again, he has no equity in Denver. He's not built up any trust or fandom. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And
if there had been offensive linemen, you know, that got COVID during the season and, like, can't play football anymore or passed away or whatever, then obviously it'd be a whole different conversation.
Right.
And I know a lot of these guys might not have, known how that was going to go when they made their decision. But if you paid attention, if you listened to the right people, you would have known.
Mm-hmm.
And this is part of the whole COVID fallacy that, you know, there's dead bodies on the street from COVID that these guys, I don't know, listen to or whatever. I just, like, I'm sorry.
It's a dang media is what it was.
It's not fair, really, for either party. It's not fair for Juwan. It's also not fair for the Broncos. And this is part of the whole pandemic problem is that you can get into these situations where really you can't put all the blame on one side or the other.
Right.
Something happened, torn Achilles, that is really nobody's fault, that just happens. And now we want to blame somebody and really, you know, both parties would kind of need to share some blame if the Broncos don't pay him. If the Broncos pay him, then they're just eating it. They're just being a nice
Well, that's what like
boss,
that's
basically.
What I said. Like, could you just like split it?
Maybe.
I mean,
I don't know. They restructured the whole contract to do that or something.
DR wanted to know if some teams were limiting working out at your team facility. I think they were. Some
initially, I don't think that's been for like this offseason.
No, the Broncos guy said that Juwan had been working out in the facility all this whole year or something. All right. So on April 22nd, so a couple weeks ago, right? Broncos GM George Patton expects Juwan James to slide in as the team's starting right tackle after opting out of the 2020 season. Quote, he's been here. He's been working out. He looks great. So they're working out at the facility.
So what, he just went home for a couple days, worked out on his own? This is not – this is getting blown out of proportion then. He's not going to be there every day in the offseason.
Well, he had been there, but I don't know.
No, I'm saying, he's not going to be there every day. And so, yeah, he's going to go home or vacation, and then he's going to work out on his own, and that's what happened. He got hurt. I don't think he was trying to stick it to Denver.
No.
Got clear. I mean, he's been there working out. He's been doing his job.
I don't know if you, but I mean, like, this is an owner problem. Like, it's like, do you want to pay this guy $10 million?
I agree.
He's not done anything for the team so far?
Yeah, and I don't this is going to come down to contractually accurate, or do you, you know, understand the situation? You know what I'm saying? Like, they could just read the contract and say you get nothing.
I think it'll get negotiated. It won't be the full $10 million, but he's not going to walk away with nothing.
That's what I would think. Does it if he doesn't play, does that count as a contract year though? Like on okay.
Yeah, I mean if he's injured, like and he's still on the roster, yeah.
Okay. It's a tough break for him though.
I mean,
three games in 3 years.
Teams do worse to guys all the time. You just don't hear about it. You know, I mean, it might have been Stink we were talking about the other day. It's like, if they realize that your play's slipping, they'll just call you and be like, here are your options. You can take less pay, or we're just going to release you. So which would you like for us to do? And, I mean, this goes back to what part of your contract's guaranteed and what part's not. I mean, we're talking about unguaranteed money. Obviously, that's the whole definition. Mm-hmm. So... I'm
with Dave. I think you come to some type of mutual agreement. Surely Juwan James would understand he's not going to be playing. And Denver, I think, would say, you deserve something. You're still part of our team, and you're going to be around. But maybe not $10 million to sit on the sidelines.
Yep. Final segment. Hour two. Back at you next. Davey, you might have said this earlier, but how long was – what's Juwan Jennings' entire contract?
Four years. Okay. 4 years, $51 million.
So this is year two on
technically, yes.
Juwan James.
Juwan James. I said Jennings, didn't I? I always do that.
We knew who you meant.
Apparently, there's some hope he won't miss the entire 2021 season.
Really?
But we'll see. See about that. Achilles is rough.
What else you got, Dave? Did you only have that one topic? You said topics.
I did.
I didn't mean to put you on the spot, man.
Nah, I forgot what I was going to talk about.
Okay.
Give me 1 second.
Mm-hmm.
Talk amongst yourselves.
A little verklempt. Talk amongst yourselves.
Yankees beat the cheating Astros yesterday.
Good.
Yeah.
Heard they got booed pretty loudly.
Yep.
As they should.
Apparently the loudest the stadium's been in a while.
I know.
Well, I mean, COVID last year.
Yeah.
I know what my other topic was.
Okay.
It also is in regards, this is a college football and an NFL conversation, but the college football Fox College Football account put out the breakdown as far as star ranking and players drafted.
Mm-hmm.
So, 5-star players, 20 in this past draft.
Out of?
The entire amount of college kids that...
But how many were 5-stars that were eligible for the draft? Do you know?
That number's not on there, I don't think.
Gotcha. Okay, just curious.
Let's see here. Actually, so 20 out of 30. So 67% drafted. Actually, do have... That wasn't on the Fox count, but Pick 6 Previews put that out.
Okay.
So the typical recruiting class, I'll give you the numbers of players drafted and then the number of stars that there were in that class. So 25 stars were drafted out of 30. 4 stars, 90 were drafted out of 300. So that's 30%. 112 3-stars out of 1,800, which would be 6%. 22 2-stars also out of 1,800, so that's 1%. And then 15 players that were not ranked out of 1,000.
Say the recruiting services are doing a pretty good job. 67% of 5-stars got drafted. It's pretty good. Right? We agree with that?
Yeah. What this proves is when people say the stars don't matter that much, look at how many 3-star guys are in the NFL superstars. That's a false narrative, because if every year there are 18 or how many 3-stars, like 1,800?
1,803 and 1,802.
If there's 1,800 3-stars, there's going to be obviously tons more opportunities to have a guy that develops, or a guy that was underrated, or a guy that was both, than to have 35 stars and you expect all of those guys to be studs and 20 of them got drafted. So the stars matter,
mm-hmm.
and people that run the numbers the other way, and that's what the Fox account do. It basically kind of insinuated that you're just as likely to be draft as a 3-star or a 5-star, which is just completely bogus.
Yeah. I mean, like, if you're a 3-star, you have a 6% chance. If you're a 5-star, you have a 67% chance based off of what this past year's draft numbers were.
And even if those numbers are a little weird for this year, let's call it 60%
and
10%.
And that's according to the 247 Sports Composite for those that are still mad at Mike Farrell.
I'm still mad at Mike Farrell.
So it's not necessarily a rivals thing. Obviously, that's calculated into the composite, but... No, I'm with you. I mean, you mentioned it, Nate. Like, everybody always wants to point to, like, well, this guy was a 2-star. Justin Jefferson, look at him now. Like, he was the best receiver rookie last year, and he didn't even have, like, a star rating for at one point kind of thing. It's like, yeah, we can always point to one example. But it's like, if you want to talk numbers over the longevity, the stars are important.
Well, that... leads us back
to... Was Khalil McKenzie drafted?
He was. He was a 6th rounder.
Okay.
Oh, you're running some numbers for Tennessee?
Well, I was just looking at our all-time 5-stars.
What year did we not have a player get drafted? What year was that where the streak ended?
17, right? Wasn't it after 17?
Michigan State, their streak ended this year, and it was a...
Really?
I want to say it was like close to 40 years.
Where'd Wanya Morris end up? You go to Oklahoma?
Mm-hmm.
Neat. It's great.
Wanya, Eric, Key.
When in doubt, Oklahoma.
I want to say there's one more.
I thought there was one more also.
Maybe it was, no, it was, who was that kid that was, I think he was out of, like, Mount Juliet, who was a recruit that ended up committing out there?
No, it was Big Cat Bryant. I'm pretty sure I think he ended up going to UCF.
No, he wasn't a transfer. It was just a kid that had liked Tennessee growing up. Was he I think he might have been a 5-star, like a defensive tackle. Or defensive end.
In last year's class?
Yeah, and I can't think of his name.
I don't either.
Woody Washington's out there. I kind of count him in a way because Pruitt didn't want him.
Right, yeah. Not good enough.
A lot of that going around.
Yeah.
Reggie Grimes. Thank you, Brad.
Yeah. He was an Alabama legacy, wasn't he?
Yeah, I think so.
Went to Oklahoma. Great. Well, better than Alabama, I suppose.
What's the deal with Jay Hardy? He's in the portal, but
we're not pursuing.
Well, no, everyone assumed that because we have Rodney Garner,
right?
That if Hardy goes in the portal, like surely he's coming to Tennessee. But apparently, he went in the portal, and it's last I heard, it was just like nope, just completely up in the air. So I don't know if we're in it, not in it, no clue. But definitely not
one to keep an eye on.
Yeah.
Would you take him?
Sure.
Okay.
I mean, I think we got to just swing the bat, you know?
Yeah, we got, what, 5 spots left?
I mean, surely a guy here or there will be a bust, but you're not going to get better by not having a player.
That's true.
So, we'll see what it is. Did you see Louisville beat Vanderbilt in baseball last night? 7-2. A midweek top 15 matchup.
Where was that game at?
Louisville.
Fascinating.
Did you hear what the Louisville coach said after? Post-game presser?
Yeah. I liked it.
He's fired up.
He was he's ready to get some fans in the stands, wasn't he?
Yeah.
That's the one you're talking about? Yeah.
Yeah.
He was pretty adamant.
Do you know how close Louisville is to Churchill Downs?
It's like right there.
Like you can see it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like right there.
Mm-hmm.
And you look at the Derby. You saw the Derby on Saturday, right? At least some of the shots from it with the Aaron Rodgers.
Not a single one.
There were some in the show thread about anyway.
Didn't see him. Sorry.
Well, I mean, it was packed.
Yeah.
I mean, it was limited on some scale, I guess, but packed. And apparently, I guess, I don't know if there's no one at Louisville baseball games or very few people or whatever, but he was asked about hosting a regional, and he basically said, you don't care about hosting a regional unless they can have fans.
Yep.
Like, it's time to just open this up. Like, it's an outdoor sport. Open it up.
Yeah, he was all in it.
Did you see Dan Wilkins' latest?
Yes, I did. That's actually a fascinating conversation topic. He wants vaccinations to be required to attend football games in the fall.
Yeah, it'll help the lagging South.
The lagging South, where there's less COVID than the psycho states.
I was looking at the transfer portal real quick.
It's pretty funny how that happens.
Yeah.
How the places that, you know, do it one way have more, places do it another way have less, but no one will just say, okay, we should do it that way, and that it's okay. It's right. Fine.
That's too easy.
Yeah.
I was looking at the transfer portal for Tennessee for players coming to the Vols and mm-hmm. those leaving the Vols.
Mm-hmm.
Only one player out of a very extensive list, I'm not even going to count it because there's a lot, only one player has a better transfer ranking than they did a high school ranking. Can you guess who that might be?
These are players coming to Tennessee?
The list comprises both.
Both. Players coming to Tennessee or leaving. Which player had a better ranking as a transfer than they did as a high school recruit? I feel like we did this the other day, or we talked about this player. Did we talk about this player the other day?
We talked about him today.
I'm sure, yeah, we've.
I know.
Oh, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Who is
Eric Gray.
Correct.
Oh, I wouldn't have thought of that.
Eric Gray.
For some reason, I was, yeah.
He's in line to start.
Yep.
I mean, he was highly touted as a high school recruit. That's why he wasn't on my radar.
Yeah, he just...
He's even higher recruited.
Yeah, he was a 9.244 out of high school. He's rated as a 96 now. All so right. We got that going for us.
We'll come back. We'll kick off hour three next.